Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Give God a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to praise Him? Oh, it's good. I got a praise report to give you. Do you want one?
Yeah.
Do you really want one?
Yeah.
You know, do y'all remember a while back, when one of our own elders... let's see, what's your name again? William. I'm messing with him. You know, he was preaching the gospel, and he was at prison. He was the chaplain of the prison, and he was preaching the gospel, and somehow they didn't like it. Somebody in there didn't like it, didn't like what he was saying, and so he complained at one, that one prisoner complained, and next thing you know, he's cast out of prison. Told that he cannot come back and don't even set foot on any prison ground in North Carolina for preaching the gospel. Say, yep, that happened. Guess where he was last Sunday? Was it last Sunday? Sunday before last. Sunday before last. What were you, William? Spindale Prison. Doing what? Preaching the gospel. Oh, that's worth it. That's worth praise. I'm telling you. Yeah, and the prison here has already said we want him back. Yeah. And a letter's been sent to Raleigh, and Raleigh has to do their thing. And also, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that this letter will go into the right hands at Raleigh, and that William will find favor. And be reinstated for the injustice that he's encountered. You're a just God. You're a good God. So in Jesus' name, we just declare it to be so. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. That is. That's good stuff. I love it when a plan comes together. How about you? I would like for you to be praying for... Sherry McDowell's family. She passed away this past Friday night, I think, in her sleep and all. But she used to be a member here and all. But let's just pause for a moment. God, we just thank you that in the midst of grief and sorrow, you're the comforter. You're the great comforter. The Father and God of all comfort is what you said. So, Father, I just ask you in Jesus' name to just draw that family close. Lord, let their hearts be tender toward you. And, Lord, let them grow in faith that you're a good God. No matter what happens, you're a good God. You're a good Father. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, lift them up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we talked a little bit about this last week. I'm going to talk to you some about courage. Everybody say courage.
Courage.
We need courage in this day. We don't know what's around the corner, do you? If you do, you need to come tell me. You know, what's coming around the corner, what's around the bend, what's down the road. We don't know everything. We know a few things, don't know a lot. But anyway, we need courage for today. We need courage for tomorrow. Is that true? And the world is looking for this county, this country, this nation. The whole world is looking for somebody who has the courage to live out Jesus. the courage to live Jesus out. Not just to have information about him. A lot of people can define him, but so many don't know him. You know, he's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's, You know, most people aren't looking for a definition of who he is. Most people are looking for people who knows who he is and has impacted their lives to be able to live it out in their view. Everybody say, in their view. So the world is looking for somebody to demonstrate who Jesus is, not just to tell them who Jesus is. We need to tell them, but they need to see it. They need to see him lived out. They need to see him in our words, in our life, in our demonstration of our own living. Hebrews chapter 10, we looked and it said in verse 18, well, verse 17 said, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. I'll remember them no more. He's saying, I will remember your sins.
No more.
How many does he remember of yours?
None.
I'll remember their sins no more and their lawless deeds no more. For there is forgiveness of these. There is no longer any offering for sin. Why? He's forgiven. Therefore. Now, therefore means you go look and see what the therefore is there for. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter in the holy places. We talked about this last week. We have confidence to enter in the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now, I want to stop just for a moment here and just repeat some of the things we said a couple of weeks ago, that this thing of what you're going through, of all of us go through at different times. If you look at verse 33, it says, verse 32, it says, recall the former days after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle. Everybody say hard struggle with sufferings. With sufferings. And sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. All right, here's the difficulty that's going on. The reproach, hard times, and just difficulty, the trials, and being punished for righteousness' sake, for doing good. But he says this. He said, you have confidence because you know he's forgiven you, because he remembers your sins no more. Therefore, you have confidence to enter in the holy places. And we talked about this holy places is not the holy of holies. That's not the same word. This word means the very spot that you're standing, you have the access to the immediate presence of God. So you may be in the darkest of dark. You may be in the most troubling times of troubling times. My Bible says where you are, right then, where you are, where you're standing, you have access, immediate access to enter in this very spot, to enter in the very holy of holies of his presence. Write that in that very spot. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait another week before you get back here to say, well, I experienced God at church again. No, you can experience God everywhere, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter the difficulty, no matter the trial, no matter the pressure, no matter the darkness that is coming. Why? Because he said, you are the light. You're the light of the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the light of the world. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Listen, don't get, you know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The only reason you can be that is because he lives in you. He said, in this very spot, in this very place. Boy, it gave me more comfort. The more I read that, the more I let that marinate inside my being, it's like, boy, this very spot, no matter where I'm at, this very place that I'm standing, of whatever that's going on with me, whatever that I'm being treated or whatever that's happening, this very place, I have immediate access and I can enter into it. See, all of us know that he'll never leave us. I heard Pastor Terry teach that again over here. You know, that five times, that five thing, I'll never, 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 that five times, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, here's the thing about it. He didn't tell him to enter in. He told you and I to enter in. The word didn't say that he entered. He's already entered. He's already entered. Then he said, you should have this boldness. You should have this confidence to enter in. This, when you're feeling off, you have this confidence. I'm forgiven. I'm completely forgiven. And he remembers them no more. I'm completely forgiven and he remembers them no more. This very place, I can enter into the very and access the very presence of God. Because he's already there. He just wants us to acknowledge his presence. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall. So what does that mean? When you have a little decision to make or a big decision to make? Yeah, that too. But what if when everything is just falling apart? When the pressure's on? When you're being criticized for something that you've never done? When you've been scorned and reproaches upon you? It's just like they're just treating you. By the way, that's how the world's going to treat Christians, including the country that you're living in. Because the Bible says that they will hate you because of my name. I love this land. I love America. But America is turning more and more against Christianity as a whole. More and more persecution is coming. Do you know the church flourishes when we're persecuted? Oh, I don't want that. Well, guess what? That's part of his plan. Now, so you can show forth who he is. So you can show the light in a dark place. You know, Stephen entered into that very spot. He was preaching away, and they didn't like what he had to say either, William. They took him outside, and they just upset at him. Then when he gazed up in heaven, see, he knows they're about to stone him. And he knows something's about to happen in heaven. He looks up, and he sees. He sees the throne of God. And they don't even like that. They pick up rocks and stones and because they're gonna take his life right then, right there. Does anybody remember what Stephen said? What did he say? Father, forgive them. Who? What did he find? In the very spot that he was standing, he found the presence of Almighty God to be able to do what? Well, didn't he die? Oh, yeah, he died. He was stoned to death for being a Christian, for preaching the gospel. Oh, yeah, he died. But what did he do? He lived out Jesus in the midst of those that were stoning him. See, we think everything's supposed to go great because we're Christians. That's not always going to be the case. It's going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some hard times. That's what he said here. They're going to have all this difficulty. But see, we need courage to be able to take the stand in the position of faith that he's asking us to take when all else fails. That's the reason. The question is asked, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on this earth? So that's the question that was asked. Will he find faith? And Pastor Charlie alluded to that. Will he find faith? Father's Vineyard, I'm praying to God that faith will be found in this place. Not just here, but it needs to be here. A place of faith. Community, there's not 300 churches in the county. There's 300 places that the church goes to. There's only one church in the county, and that's him. We need courage, people. We need confidence. Y'all remember David? David was a little teenage boy, and he gets sent out by his father to give bread and cheese to his brothers who are with the Israeli army, right? they're part of the army. And they're in this valley where Goliath is, this big 9-foot-something giant, really mouthy, taunting. Everybody use the word taunting. Taunting. So they're taunting he's taunting the enemy. He's taunting Israel. And they hide in caves. And the challenge is, just one of you come out. Just come on out. Just one of you come on out. No takers. David shows up. He's not even there in battle gear. He's there as a, listen to this, he's there as a servant. Don't you dare forget serving. He's there as a servant. He's obeying the Father, doing a very small matter. And the giant, he hears the giant starts railing against God, and then he rises up with righteous indignation. He said, who's going to shut this dude's mouth? Not many of us. And why don't you get on back to your few sheep that you got? You hear the ridicule? You hear the disdain that they have for this little old teenage dude that came up with cheese and bread? But yet he's not liking what he hears. Now, the whole thing, we know the story, right? He goes out, grabs up a few rocks, and heads out. And the Bible didn't say he just casually walked. He said he's running toward the enemy. He's running toward him. Running and a... and running. And he takes him out, right? Cuts his head off, all that stuff. That's great. What was the difference in David and all the rest of the men of Israel? What made the difference? The what? He knew his God. But what we fail to realize is chapter 16 is before chapter 17. What happened in chapter 16? A prophet comes on the scene and says this, you are going to be king of Israel. What's he saying? He's saying what God's saying, right? You are going to be king of it. And he gets the oil out and anoints him with oil, because it ain't none of the rest of his brothers in chapter 16, right? You are the one. And he anoints him to be king over all Israel. What does David know when he gets to the valley where the giant is? What does David know? Come on, talk to me. What does David know? He's going to be king. David knows he's going to be king. Why? It's been spoken by God. Hey, B. How you doing? It's been spoken by God. He's already heard God speak before. He's seen God in action. So in his past, he already knows God delivers. Delivered him from the hand of the bear and the lion, right? And he's just a kid. He's just a kid. But see, he goes into chapter 17. He goes in the valley of the giant, already anointed to be king. Already spoken over his life, he's going to be king. What's been spoken over your life that the enemy's taunting you out? What's he causing? How's he causing you humiliation? When what? See, we got to remember what God said, and what God said about you, and what God said about me. Because there are going to be a lot of loudmouths out there that's going to say, Matter of fact, they'll call you a dog. That's what they call David. That's what he called David. He's just a dog. He actually told the army, he said, look, come on, any of you, come on, just come on out and I'll make you like bird seed. I'll feed you to the birds. Listen to it. David rises up, hears the blasphemy toward his God, and he remembers, really, he remembers he's been anointed to be king, so what? No wonder he's running. Why? He's running on what God said. He's running on who he is. He's running on the past history of what God has done. And he knows that he delivered him from the hand of the what? The lion and the bear. And he can deliver him from whom? This filthy Philistine. Uncircumcised. And he's going to stand up and blaspheme my God. And he runs and takes him out. Why? He's been anointed. Do you know you've been anointed? You've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. You know that Jesus said that everybody say me. You can do greater things than he did. That's what Jesus said about you. That's what Jesus said about me. But we're all tied up. That we're all tied up and confused over our past. Don't have the courage to step out on what God said because we remember what we did or who we used to be. Got to have courage. Got to have courage to understand that God's got your past covered. And he holds your future. And he's also in control of holds your present, and he's also in control of your future. Well, we got to do is believe him. But it may cost us. No. Remove the word may. It will. It will cost us. Living him out will cost you. Courage. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we should encourage one another. Everybody say encourage one another. Encourage. You know why he says that? So the deceitfulness of sin won't harden each other. Listen to that. The deceitfulness of sin. Is sin deceitful? Yes. Absolutely. He said one of the antidotes that we are not using enough is to encourage each other. We're probably not going to do this. Let's see if we can go to this video. This is about y'all ready to go? Y'all ready to see a movie? It's really not a movie, but it's a film. It's a video. I want you to listen now. He uses a word here about his grandmother calling out to a higher power, but. He didn't know who the higher power was till later. Who's the higher power? God. I want you to watch this video.
My grandmother became my first hero. Growing up, my grandmother never used an alarm clock. But every morning, my grandmother would wake up at 4:15. And at 4:16, her feet would hit the floor, usually right in front of my face. And that's what would wake me up. But I would lay there and I would pretend like I was still asleep, because me and 4:15 really didn't get along. But Grandma would look at the back of my head. I could feel her staring at me. And then finally she would say, "Now, sugar, Grandmama know you ain't sleep. You just supposed to go on and get on up and get ready for school." And my grandmother was known for saying things that would kind of make you a little angry because they made so much sense and you couldn't argue with her. Parents, you know, there's things that when you become parents, you start to say to your own kids. Like my grandmother would say, "Now, son, you knew when you laid down there last night that you had to get up this morning. I don't know why every single morning you lay there and act surprised. You ought to be thankful that the Lord saw fit to wake you up this in your right mind." But what my grandmother was encouraging me to do was simply to be grateful for the opportunity. In spite of all that I had been through in my life, she just wanted to make sure that I understood the opportunity that I've been given. My life got started, it was a little rough. It was a little rough start. I was born 2 months premature. My mother was walking up a flight of stairs, and she didn't know this at the time, but a woman she had had an argument with earlier was standing above her holding a pot of boiling water. As my mom made her way up those stairs, that woman dumped that water onto my mom and sent her tumbling down the stairs and into premature labor. She received third-degree burns to over 25% of her body. And when we were finally allowed to leave the hospital, as you can imagine, my mom was in a great deal of pain. Those burns just barely missed her face and covered most of the front of her body. So when we got home, she began taking a heavy sedative, pain medication to help her recover. When she took that medication, it was very difficult for her to watch me, so I would bounce around a lot. I'd stay with my mom for a little bit, and then I'd go stay with grandma, and I'd stay with some neighbors, aunties, and then back to my mother's house. I did that for the first 3 years of my life. When I was 3 years old, I was back at my mom's house, and I got into her purse, I found that medication, I swallowed everything in the bottle. When they found me, they rushed me to the hospital, and my heart would stop, and eventually I went into a coma. But because of that accident, because of that incident, the state of California, they did an investigation. And the conclusion that they came to was that it wasn't an accident. They removed me from my mother's home. I was made a ward of the state, and eventually I went into the foster care system. Shortly after I arrived to one of my foster homes, my foster mom, her name was Miss Alexander. Miss Alexander began locking me inside the closet with no light. She'd open the closet door, she'd kick me, hit me with a stick or a strap or whatever she had. It was while I was in that foster home that I was sexually abused for the first time in my life. And oftentimes people ask, you know, if that has to be the worst thing that could happen to someone. I have scars on my body that you can't see. I have a burn here on my hand that she put there with an iron. But all of that pain went away. The worst thing that Mrs. Alexander would do is she would open the closet door. She would stand over me, and she would say, "You're stupid, and you ain't gonna ever amount to nothing." And that hurt me more than any of the physical kicks or the physical pain, because I believed it for a long time. I believed that I would never amount to anything, just like she said. I didn't know this at the time. I found out a little bit later, but my grandmother, my hero, she had started going back and forth to court, trying to prove that she could take care of an active, handsome little boy. And eventually the state of California, they granted her full custody of me. And I'll never forget standing on Miss Alexander's front porch waiting. She had my little belongings, everything that I had. I remember standing there, it may have only been a half an hour, but it felt like an eternity. And I can remember thinking, maybe no one's coming. But after a while, at the end of the block, I see the ugliest car I've ever seen in my life. And the car pulls up right in front of the porch. And I remember all I could see are these two big glasses, bifocals. And I found out later that grandma had glaucoma. She wasn't even supposed to be driving. But she gets out of that big car, and she's got on this white floppy hat with this, it was a flower right there in the middle. And I remember she had on this long white dress that came all the way down to her ankles. And I found out later that, you know, that was grandma's Sunday best. It was an outfit that she only reserved for special occasions. And I can remember for once in my life feeling like I was some special occasion. So I remember jumping into grandma's arms and squeezing her, and I remember her whispering and saying to me, "Everything's okay. You're family." And everything was okay, just like grandmother said. And I had a lot to look forward to. I found out that my mom was going to court trying to prove that she could take care of me. And I can remember sitting there with my mother, and we talk. And we had a lot of different conversations. One thing I can remember saying, "Mama, you know, one day when I get big, I'm gonna buy you a nice house with a fireplace." I said, "Mama, one day I'm gonna buy you a nice car, not like grandmama's, and get you a nice one." But the truth is, I just really wanted to become a family again, and that's what I looked forward to. When I was 12 years old, I was asleep on my grandmother's floor. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. We get a knock on the door, and it was my mom's roommate. Miss Howe, come quick. Miss Howe was my grandma. She said, "Come quick, it's Ruth." Ruth was my mom. She said, "I can't wake her up, I think she's dead." And I can remember laying on that floor, you know, kind of wishing it was, thinking, hoping that it was maybe a dream. But it wasn't. And that's how I found out that all the hopes and dreams and things that I had to look forward to weren't gonna happen. I became very angry. I became confused. I was hurt. I didn't really understand what was happening. I started acting out, hanging out with the wrong people, breaking into houses, started stealing cars. I remember not really caring what happened to me. I continued that behavior until I was 19. When I was 19, I found myself standing in front of a judge. I was handcuffed, had a chain around my waist, and my handcuffs were attached to that chain. The judge looked at me and says, the state of California sentences you to 15 years in prison for armed robbery and assault with a deadly weapon. That day, when that door closed behind me for the first time as a convicted felon, I remember standing in that empty cell. I remember my knees started to get weak and they started to shake uncontrollably. I collapsed and I fell to the floor. And I just started crying alone. And I can remember hearing voices. Heard the voice of my foster mom saying, you're stupid, you ain't gonna ever amount to nothing. Heard the voice of family members and friends of family that said, that boy's gonna end up just like his father. My father was a career criminal, he died in prison. I can remember laying there thinking to myself that this is where I'm gonna die. But here's what happened that would change my life. Shortly after I arrived to that prison, there was an educator there. His name was Charles Lyles, 6'3", ex-Marine. And I don't know what it was about me, but every time he saw me, he'd say, hey, Mr. Humphrey. And he had this big smile on his face, a smile that my kids would say, that's creepy. But he smiled and he said, hey, Mr. Humphrey, how are you doing? He always called me Mr. Humphrey. He gave me that respect. He walked into my cell. He looked at me and he said, Mr. Humphrey, he says, prison doesn't have to be your life. He says, you can get out of here and you can do great things. He started to walk away. And before he walked out of my cell, he turned around one last time. He says, Mr. Humphrey. I said, yes, sir. He says, I believe in you. And he walked out of my cell. And if he had continued to stand there, he would have seen the tears running down my face because no one had ever said that to me. But I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to make some changes and I'm going to change my life. And a little over 4 years after the day I originally collapsed and fell to the floor, I walked out of that prison on parole. That was over 18 years ago. I've never been back other than to mentor and help other people. But here's what I know. I know that when you've had a rough life, when you feel unwanted, I know that when you have hopes and dreams and when you have things that you can look forward to and when you have people in place that support you and push you, I know that that gives you a reason to live. It is a great day to be alive. And that's something that I haven't always said, but now it's something that I say to myself every single day at some point. If I'm having a great day or a bad day, that's something that I say. But what I also understand is that what my grandmother was thanking her higher power for each and every day was for the opportunity that she'd been given. And she never missed an opportunity to tell anyone that would listen, especially me, it's a great day to be alive.
You know, the world is full of Mr. Humphreys. There may be some Mr. Humphreys in here that you need that encouragement. You need somebody to tell you that it's going to be okay. You need somebody to tell you that God's with you. Your story may be similar. Your story may not even look like it, but yet it is your story. Hardness comes when we're not encouraged. The deceitfulness of sin causes us to be harder because we lose our courage. And we need to be encouraged. If you need to be encouraged today, I'd like for you to stand to your feet. You just need some encouragement today. Just stand to your feet. I just really need somebody. I just really need encouraging today. And if you don't mind, I want you to come up here and just face the congregation. here's an opportunity, church, for you to be able to practice here what we need to do out there. There's a world that has so much pain in it. They've heard all the, you'll never amount to anything. You're bad. You're stupid. You're dumber than a rock. You'll wind up in prison. You'll wind up this. You'll wind up that. They've heard all that. What they need to hear. They need to encounter somebody who has the courage to be able to give an encouraging word. So we can look and see the failures of society. We can look and see the failures of individuals, and they're experiencing consequences of their choices and all that. Well, it gets to what it deserves. Maybe some truth in it, but I know something else that they do deserve. They need a person that is full of courage to walk up to them and start giving them words that God is saying about his love, about his support, about his deliverance, about his hope, about the forgiveness, about whatever it is that God gives you to say. Did you notice that one man went to him? Ex-Marine. Prison doesn't have to be this. It doesn't have to be your life. They all need hope. So I'd like for some of you to just rise up, and I want you to come to it. Now, you need to make sure that you're going to encourage them. They don't need you to be, you know, I don't know why you're going through all of that. That's just, you know, it's just they need an encouraging word. And make sure we get, you know, man with man and woman with woman. So if you feel like the Lord has given you something to go tell that this one of these people, now's your chance. There's a lot of people that are hardened. Even though they're Christians, they're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin because it's deceived them into believing whatever sin is saying. We're children of the light. Amen? We're the people of the light. And we should give people light. But you know, my Bible tells me this, that yes, you are the light of the world, and in a city set up on a hilltop, it'll be seen by everybody, and nobody puts it. What?
Somebody's hurt and come down. But it takes a real mature man of God. said, Pastor, I mean, it's so powerful. There's so many people around us that need that encouragement, that love, that strength. And that story just touched me.
Amen.
You know, Billy Graham recently died. What a great news. But people don't know sometimes the hidden thing. God leads you to a prison. Hug a man. I remember the hate that people had. Oh, it just the disdain that brought on the church. And people just wanted to disassociate with it. But there was one man, Billy Graham, that came up and gave him a hug. When the prison guard said, come, yard, he said, I was there with slops all over my overalls, looking like this. He said, I just broke. Because here he was, loving
him. Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But if the, you know, but we need to be able to show forth the light, not let it be hidden, but let it be on the hilltop where all can see it. And it says, let your light, everybody say, so shine. Let your light so shine that when they do see your good works, that they will have an opportunity to glorify your Father who is in heaven. You want other people to glorify the Father? Let your light so shine. Give them the opportunity to see the light being lived. And it gives them an opportunity to give God praise. He also said that you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, if it loses its taste, it is fit for nothing except to be walked upon. See, we need to be people that create a thirst for the things of God. But we hold them in. And sometimes we have our own fear, and we need to have courage to speak up to people at the Walmarts, at the gas stations, wherever it is that we go. We need to be a people that when we recognize somebody that is down and out or having a tough time, have the courage to let your light out. Have courage to be able to sprinkle the salt to preserve someone just with the words of grace. This world, look, we can do all the shouting, we can do everything in here that we want to do, and it's just fine. But the proof of the pudding is when we leave these doors. We need to be a courageous people. That yes, we see the failures, we see the things that are going on, we see all the imperfection in a person. But do you see them the way God sees them? All it took was just one ex-Marine to look at him and say, Mr. Humphreys, prison does not have to be your life. Just the encouragement. The world is waiting for you and I to be a courageous people of faith, to be able to walk up and to be able to speak forth and to deliver a true word from God that they need to hear, that they need at that moment to live it out. So the challenge before us is, yes, I know, but, you know, it's really, yes, I know. I hear what the Holy Spirit's saying, and I'm going to take courage myself. Take courage. Be of good courage. Do not be dismayed. Share the goodness of God with other people. It may turn somebody's life around, just like Mr. Humphreys. It may just pick him up and spin him around. Pick her up and spin her around. And by the way, let me say this, and we'll go out and encourage people. We've all heard the story of Jim Baker, but you know the part that most of you have not heard? There was a lawyer that investigated his case and saw what actually happened. And he reopened the case for Jim Baker. And Jim Baker was released from prison because things that the city of Charlotte wanted the land. Period. Fabrications were made, like accusations were made that they plotted against, and the court found him guilty and he went to prison. This lawyer over here reviewed the case some years later and realized a great injustice has been done. But you don't see that on the news. You don't see that broadcasted on the news. And the reason being is because the world does not want the redemption story told. All it wants is the dirty laundry. It sells. So that's the reason he's out of prison today. Most people don't know that. How many of you knew that? Say some of you know it. Some of you know. But anyway, now he's got his faults, just like everybody. But the rest of the story is that they released him from prison because he was falsely accused and he was imprisoned wrongly. Now, William, I tell you, I'm encouraged that God's at work. God's at work in this man's life, and I knew he wasn't through with him, but he ain't through with him in prison either. Looks like he may have to go back to prison, brother. Amen. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't he? Look, as your pastor, I'm just saying, we can be a religious people and go through all the forms and go through all the stuff that we normally do, and we can do that without heart. We sure can. But we need to do it with heart, and we need to do it with the substance of him alive in us, that no matter where we go, we can take courage ourselves and we can encourage one another. Some of you need to make some phone calls, because you know some people that are discouraged. Matter of fact, you know some people that you haven't seen here in a while. They don't need to hear, man, when are you going to come back to church? What's wrong with you? They don't need to hear that. They just need to hear an encouraging word. Just want to let you know I love you. I miss you. Can I help you in any way? God loves you. Just a phone call. Just a visit. Just a card. Or just a encounter. That's Jesus, people. That's the way God operates. That's what he wants us to do. So if you want to see some of the hardness begin to fall off of people, start encouraging them. That's what my Bible says, encouraging them. Encourage them today, because they get hardened with the deceitfulness of the sin. It deceives them into believing things that's not true about them. Okay, did you get it? Yes. Is anybody else, that God's saying something to you that's right in line with this? Anybody? Eric?
I just want to encourage the congregation with the scripture, Joshua 1:5-9, and it's all about what you've been talking about. It says that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This is the book of the law that shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Slide one is Joshua 1:6. Well, amen. But anyway, we'll go there next week. All right. Everybody okay? So what's your assignment today? Take courage and encourage somebody. I want to hear some reports. I honestly believe that if we'll do that, God will give us testimonies that we'll be able to share, that it turned people's lives around. Listen, be courageous. Stand up. Reach out. Say the encouraging words. God will use you in a mighty, mighty way. It said, you're going to do great things. That was a word that he got. You're going to do great things. And he is. And he is. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you so much for the goodness, the richness of your word and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we, your people, want to give you all of our lives in a way that you can use to push back the darkness that is overtaking so many people. And Father, I'm asking you this very moment, I'm asking you that you will send people, one person that will go to each one that is here, that will be in front of each person here, and that we would have the opportunity, we would recognize the opportunity, and we would take the opportunity to encourage another person. Lord, they may not know you, or they may know you, but God, we're here for you. We want to glorify your name. We want to let your light shine. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all together we said, amen. 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 God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.